Flyers Daily with Jason Martinez.
All righty, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the 30th. Oh my goodness, can you believe it? It's the 30th of December, 2025. 2025 can kiss my big rear end. I'm ready for 2026 and all that comes with it. Flyers Daily presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. I plan to make a lot of memories in 2026. I'm not going to forget the things I learned in 2025 about life, the pace of life, the meaning of life. Not that I figured that out. Or what we've learned about our hockey team in 2025. But there's a lot of things in 2025 I'm going to take and apply forward. And I hope the Flyers do the same. How about that? It's not even New Year's Eve. I'm giving you a good New Year's Eve message. We're going to engage the community that we have built here with Flyers Daily. As you guys know, we're going to preview Flyers Canucks in a second. Flyers play the Canucks tonight. There's your preview. No, not really. Flyers are playing the Canucks momentarily as I'm taping a little late because my internet's been in and out all day with this crazy windstorm. Vancouver and the Kraken are playing last night when you're seeing this at 10 o'clock in Seattle. So the Flyers are in Vancouver waiting for the Canucks as we tape this. And the Canucks are in Seattle where the Flyers left to go to Vancouver. So those two teams will take on each other tonight. We'll give you the state of play in a minute. But as you guys know from consuming this podcast, whether it be, you know, just the audio version, which is on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, whatever the different service might be, or you consume it on the YouTube app. One of the goals of mine over the past year or so has been to build a community and where we have discussions. Because as you can see, if you're watching this on YouTube or if you're listening, you can tell, I would say about 92% of the episodes that I do of Flyers Daily are me by myself. I'm sitting here in my home studio and I perform the podcast by myself. I don't know of any other Flyers podcast that have a solo host. Matter of fact, I don't know many podcasts at all that have a solo host that kind of do it this way. Would it be easier for me to have a co-host every day, have Bill Meltzer or a co-host every day like Charlie and Bill Matz do on PHLY, or, you know, Isaiah and Jeff and those guys on OMB podcast, or, you know, Rachel and Russ on Locked On Flyers? You know, would it be easier on me? Oh my God, yeah. It'd be a lot easier because planning and having a discussion with another person that you're either looking at or you can hear is a lot different than having a discussion as I sit in this home studio alone. There's nobody else here. Nobody even in the house. The dogs aren't even here right now. So it's a little different that I do about 92% of the episodes all by myself. But my way to have the conversation with the community is through DMs, great emails, comments set, on the YouTube feed. That's my way to have a discussion. It is what it is. I can't change that. I'm not going to ask them to hire somebody else to give me a co-host. And I love when Bill joins us every Monday. And I love having great conversations or interviews, or whatever you want to call them, or having dignitaries on, whether that's Edzo or, you know, the general manager, the head coach, or players, whatever. But I do 92% of these episodes right here. It's just me. But it's you guys along with me, and I like to give you a voice. So we're gonna dive into that today. Now, the rules for the community are pretty simple. Be respectful. I ask people to be fact-based. Sometimes that's followed, sometimes it's not. So we're going to kind of dig into those things. And you can disagree. You can tell me I'm wrong. I had a fan, a week and a half ago, told me that he thought that I was out of touch with today's current fan. And I had to really kind of take inventory of that and try and figure that out. Because I think in some ways I am out of touch with fandom. Because I've been in this business for 33 years. So you have a lot of fandom beat out of you when you do this for a living for so long. Or some version of this. I've been in radio forever. Radio programming forever, on air, off air, you name it. I've kind of done it, but the fandom, maybe it doesn't completely leave you, but it changes. There's no doubt about that. Flyers Canucks tonight in Vancouver. As I said, Flyers are facing a team that is facing the team they just faced last in the Seattle Kraken. Flyers, of course, lost that game. And I'm going to be real blunt about tonight's game against Vancouver. I don't care one-tenth of one you-know-what that the Flyers played Vancouver on December 22nd and beat them 5-2. And it's tough to beat a team twice in a week. I don't care. They need to win the game tonight. Things are very tight in the Eastern Conference. We know that. These are 2 points that are very important for the Flyers and on this road trip. I think the games on this trip don't get easier. They get harder throughout this four-game trip. It'll be Vancouver tonight, then it'll be Calgary, and then it's going to be Edmonton, who clearly is the best of the four teams. So I really don't care that they played this team and beat them a week ago. They need to win again tonight because, look, Seattle's playing better. They made some trades, and they're riding a four-game winning streak right now. And I thought the Flyers outplayed Seattle. And I thought they kind of got goalied in that game by a 34-year-old Philip Grubauer. But I won't accept that tonight. They need to win tonight. They have 45 points through 37 games, which at the time of taping is tied with the Capitals, who have played 38 games, but right now are playing their 39th. They are in action as we speak. And the Devils, 3 points back with one more game played than the Flyers, and the Rangers are, let's see, 3 points back with Flyers having 3 games in hand on the Rangers. That's pretty crazy. So the Flyers are in good position. The Rangers, at the time of taping, are beating the Hurricanes right now. We sit at the top of the division with 49 points. Capitals are tied with the Panthers. So we'll see how it all pans out as we go through. But tonight is a very important game for the Flyers because it's one they should win. And look, if they're really moving in this direction of being, the other day it was the number 2 points percentage team in the Eastern Conference. Right now I think they're the fourth highest in points percentage in the Eastern Conference. If they're really that team, then you got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. They were supposed to beat Seattle. Yeah, Seattle's playing better. Yeah, they beat Vancouver a week ago 5-2 when Vancouver also came in riding a four-game win streak all on the road. But tonight, don't let one turn into two. Don't let losses get clumped together. 1-2, then 2-3, 3-4. That's a quick way to find yourself out of the playoff picture really quick. So very important game for the Philadelphia Flyers tonight in Vancouver. And it'll be a back-to-back because we'll be right back at it tomorrow against Calgary for New Year's Eve for a 9:30 puck drop tonight, 10 o'clock. And we'll have all the action for you on the Flyers Broadcast Network and a 93.3 WMMR. So let's get to, first and foremost, we'll kind of bop through emails and YouTube comments. So our first email comes from Patrick. He says, "Hey, my family has included you in our daily prayers during your medical sojourn. Glad to see you on the mend. My question for the podcast is in regards to the state of the rebuild. I believe Mishkov will be fine. Tockett is doing a fine job. However, I think it's concerning that this team has no real legit top center or top pairing defenseman or a QB for the power play this deep into the rebuild." He said, "In addition, the contending teams tend to have stars leading the way and the Flyers do not. I believe the Cutter Gauthier situation and not moving TK for assets 2 years ago will be viewed as what doomed the rebuild. What gives you hope that they are building a cup-contending team? Also, Spencer Gill doesn't seem to be as highly touted presently. Thoughts?" I'll kind of skip the Spencer Gill things because we got a lot to get to there. Do they have a legit top center on the team now? No. Do they have one coming in the organization? I don't think so. I'll see what Jetlichenko is going to be when he gets here. I know some people will call him a bust already, but we'll see where he kind of fits in. Is he a 2C? Is he a 3C? Do we know about Jack Nesbitt? Nesbitt is a project. You know, Nesbitt's going to take time. Not every draft pick, you can look at a guy in the third round right now and go, wow, he is tearing it up in junior or wherever. And doing better than Nesbitt. Yet Nesbitt was taken 2 rounds higher. Why? Because that's where that player is now. But the projection is that Nesbitt ends up all the way up here, and that player only ends up there. It's a long game. So you can't look at what a kid is doing at 18 versus another kid at 18 in their projection. Because the projection is at the NHL level when their game fully matures. It's a projection, though. It's obviously not a science. And a lot of teams are not right often. And the Flyers, I got news for you, have been one of those teams that hasn't been right often in the last decade. We're hoping that's changing. But to make those decisions now on the picks that Danny Briere has made is a little bit premature. It takes more time. He said, I think Mishkov will be fine. Well, that kind of solves your one problem. He said, contending teams have stars leading the way. If Mishkov turns out to be fine, and I think he will too, he will be a star. So that kind of is part of that. As for moving TK for assets, he was on an expiring contract. You would have gotten a lottery ticket, first round pick, and a decent prospect, another Nikita Gabrenkin, and a 24th overall pick for Travis Konecny. Would it have given you cap space moving forward? Sure. Cap's not going to be a problem, though. Let's take the cap out of the equation, because it is not only rising very quickly, it's going to continue to rise. So that has, to me, where I could say to some people, if the cap was staying flat or just marginally increasing, I could maybe make the case for the moving TK for a lottery pick, like a 24th, 20th overall pick in the first round, and a Nikita Gabrenkin bottom six forward prospect. You could have made the case, and I could have used the cap space when the cap was really tight, but the cap's not going to be tight. That's the point. And drafting, developing, getting your player to his first unrestricted free agent status that wants to be here to turn around and make things better is a good look on potential free agents around the league. It doesn't look great when you draft, develop a player, and then you let him walk and don't pay him in his prime. You get a little bit of reputation of being a penny pincher. So that's not great. As far as what gives me hope that they're building a cup contending team, I have no idea if they are. None. I think they have pieces that I'm intrigued by, but to me, there's so much that still needs to change. As you go through this process to become a cup contending team in a 32-team NHL, if I would have looked at the Edmonton Oilers 14 years ago, 10 years ago, 8 years ago, I would have said they were absolutely building a cup contending team. Now, they've gotten to two cup finals, but most of those players, besides McDavid and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, aren't there of the top guys they've taken, and Draisaitl. But look at Taylor Hall, number one overall pick, gone. Nail Yakupov, gone. And many other players. And because they've had to pay Draisaitl and McDavid so much money, it's cost them on the back end. Now, they've made some bad contract decisions. Goaltending's undone them in finals. So they are still fundamentally flawed a bit. This one comes from Ken. I guess I answered one of his emails a little while back. And he said, hey, Jason, me again. he said, I appreciate your take on my last email, and I do enjoy your content. However, this Mishkov time on ice thing has gotten to another bleeping level. 10 freaking minutes? I don't care how this is explained away. It's utter garbage by an egotistical coach. Totally has Pettersson vibes from Vancouver. Even his bloody comments regarding the questioning strategy of Mishkov are frankly disgusting. All right, Ken, I'm going to explain this to you really easily. When I used to work with Mike Missinelli, Mike used to accuse the audience oftentimes, when they would get outraged, of a lack of what he called second-level thinking. And, yeah, I look at that game, and I brought up that box score from the Chicago game, which the Flyers played the Chicago Blackhawks on December 23rd. They played the night before, the Flyers did, against Vancouver at home, and then traveled to Chicago to take on the Blackhawks, who had 4 days off going into that game. So if we recall, we go back first to the game against Vancouver, the first game of the head-to-head. Now, the first game of the head-to-head is against Vancouver, and also the Chicago game, by the way, was the third and four nights, again, for the Flyers. So they played Vancouver on Monday the 22nd. They won the game 5-2. When you look at that game in particular, and I remember talking about it at the time, that Rick Tocchet had to roll four lines. Rick Tocchet had to roll three pairs of D, knowing that he had another game the next night against a rested opponent, which is why in that game against Vancouver, we saw Rodrigo Abels play 14 minutes and 7 seconds of ice time. Nikita Gorbenkin play over 12 minutes. Carl Grundstrom play just about 13 minutes of ice time. And the highest minutes for any forward in the game were Travis Konechny at 16:11. No, Zegras actually played 16:37 on 19 shifts. Mishkov actually had one more shift than Zegras, but only played 13:57. So that's the first part of that. The game you're outraged by, as you mentioned, is the Chicago game the next night at 9 o'clock. I think the game started at 9:25 in Chicago. Flyers on the back-to-back again. And when you look at this game, how it played out, Flyers up 2-1 going into the third period. Very tight game. You look at the shots in the game, 26-21. It was a very tight game. Flyers are already down in this game, Denver Barkey, because he left the game about 7 minutes to go, I think, in the second period. I think he had to go to concussion protocol after he got pummeled behind the net when it was called for a penalty. And then you lost your best defender in Travis Sanheim 7 minutes into the third period. So you're really shorthanded in this game. And you're just trying to hang on and get a win. And you're up 2-1 on the road. Mishkov in that game plays 10 minutes and 52 seconds on 17 shifts. He did take a penalty, an unsportsmanlike conduct. It was a coincidental, so there was no power play for the other team. It happened right off a draw. It was kind of odd. But he played 2 minutes and 20 seconds of power play. Now, the minutes very spread around. Obels, 12 minutes. Barkey, he left the game early, only played 8:28. Bobby Brink, 15, 16 for Cates. He led the way with Dvorak. They were putting the defensive players out there to hang on to this game as much as they could. Plus, when a player is lacking fitness, it's going to hurt him the most in the second game of a back-to-back in a third and 4 days. So I know that, you know, your email says this has gotten to another bleeping level, 10 minutes. You got to consider the nuance. And when you go on to cite Elias Pettersson, see, on this podcast, we deal in reality and fact. We're not going to deal in revisionist history. So, Ken, if you're going to cite Pettersson, just do the research first. Just do the research. You'll know that the 3 years that Rick Tocchet was there with Elias Pettersson, he had his highest 3 years of average time on ice. I'm not kidding you. Year one, he averaged 20 minutes and 33 seconds. Year two, 19 minutes and 39 seconds. Year three, 18 minutes and 40 seconds. So you can't say Pettersson vibes when it's so factually wrong. Just do the look again. We're going to deal in the nuance and we're going to go to the second level. We're going to make this stuff make sense. We can't just look at things on a singular lens like that. There's a cumulative effect to fitness. And 3-4 and the back-to-back in a one-goal game is not when you, it's not when you deploy the guy. You don't put yourself in a situation to fail. Zachary says, long-time listener, first-time email, first time. First, just want to say it's awesome to see you healthy. Your will to do the show through those tough times really fired me up, a real fighter like a Broad Street bully. So glad you're back to good health. I wanted to make a comment about the miserable Flyers fan attitude you talked about on today's show. This is something that drives me nuts as fans that try to watch most games. It feels like people making those comments are not fully paying attention. I disagree with that. I think, like the guy I cited, Flyers fan Dan from Brotherly Pod, he pays a ton of attention. He just wants to be miserable. He never acknowledges anything positive. His thing yesterday was reacting to a totally baseless rumor from a non-credible source about Bobby Brink being traded for Ryan Hartman. And he was freaking out about it. I think some people like him are fans to be miserable. It's their vehicle to misery. Look, a lot of people are a lot more comfortable being miserable than they are in happiness. I did sports radio for 20 years. It's a case study like none other. He said, regardless, I love talking Flyers with people. And one thing that I have found the past few years is that attitude in the real world, whether it's a friend's parent, grandfather, or random small talk on the street, most of the time it's good things and not nitpicking negative comments about how wrong the organization is doing it. I totally agree with that. This miserable minority is a very vocal, miserable minority. And I think I have to remember that sometimes too, to not give them oxygen when it's just completely ridiculous how they pick things apart and tailor an argument for what they're trying to say in that moment. But meanwhile, there's a huge contradiction. Like Bill pointed out yesterday, Mishkov is expected goals, blah, 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 and all this. But his line mates suck. Well, if his expected goals are that high and he should be out there more and that line's generating than his expected goals, something doesn't wash. He said, anyway, just glad to hear the same sentiment from you. Take care, Zach. Zach, thanks for the email. Really do appreciate it. Let's get to some comments from yesterday's episode on YouTube. Karen says, Sanheim is no doubt our best defenseman. He'd be even better, though, if Briere got a top D-man to be his partner. I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Karen also says, 50 years and counting, does Briere have the stones to make a real hockey trade? Because he will have to before the three-week break at the Olympics. Well, wait a minute. Was it not a real hockey trade when he got Trevor Zegras? Or he traded Ivan Provorov? Or, I mean, I can list a bunch of deals for you. We must give these assets he has acquired over the years for a top pair D and at least a second line center. The first half has been fun. So will the second half if Briere can get some courage to do what he must do. Got to give to get, rather. I don't know that that's going to happen before the Olympic break. I think teams are going to wait till after the Olympic break. So I do agree with you. You do have to give to get. We can't just put out our recycling bin and have a gold bullion dropped off. But I don't know that your timeline is going to align up with what other GMs want to do. Quinn Hughes did move. That's with Jim Rutherford, though. He's a different animal. Frank says the Flyers could win the Cup in a thrilling seven-game series. And there's a faction of the fan base that would say, yeah, they won, but it took seven games. That's pretty funny. Lighting Lamp says, in all fairness, don't think fans are talking about winning a Cup right now. I think most mean getting at least a playoff round, which we haven't had since the 2020 bubble when fans couldn't even attend. Very true. The last time they were in the playoffs, they actually won a round. They won the round robin, which meant nothing. Then they won the first round, and then they went to seven in the second round against the New York Islanders. But you're right. Nobody could attend. It was in the bubble. The last time the Flyers had a home playoff game at their building was in 2018. Think about that. In a day and a half, the calendar is going to flip to 2026. The last time Flyer fans could congregate for a playoff game in the home building was 8 years ago. Oh, that is, and I understand that frustration. I do, because I love playoff hockey. I love spring hockey. But I do disagree with you. I don't think a lot of fans have an appetite for just getting into the first round. At least the vocal minority of the vocal miserable minority don't seem to be too into that. They seem to want to wait to make the playoffs to when you can win four rounds of the playoffs. It doesn't work that way. You got to get it into the playoffs. Then you got to learn how to tailor your team to be a playoff team. Getting that playoff experience for players, young players, is huge. Flyers Purgatory. Oh, we've had some debates with Flyers Purgatory. I have a feeling we might have to go to the facts again on Flyers Purgatory. He says, fans anointed Mishkov? Not the organization? My God, the Flyers were pumping out Mishkov merch like it was going out of style. Now it's, hey, calm down with the guy. What about the how great Dvorak is playing? So disingenuous. They posted his picture everywhere. They said he was the kind of player we've been missing. You don't get to say, hey, he's not one guy. It's not one guy. Dude, you are so out of touch with reality. You live in this fantasy bubble of believing things that didn't actually happen. The Flyers never anointed Michkov. If anything, I think they under-anointed him. How many times did John Tortorella say, it's going to take time. You don't just walk into this league. He put the kid on the bench a few times. How many times did Danny Briere say, it's not on one player. It can't just be him. And he's got a long way to go, and he's got a ton to learn. Okay, because they sold merch, that's them pumping him? The last I checked, merch is a supply and demand market. And there was a ton of demand for his merch because he's exciting. That has nothing to do. Were the Flyers fans going out there and saying, hey, don't buy Michkov stuff because we don't want him to get his head too big? No, come on. Flyers purgatory. You know, I bring receipts here. You can't just come in and say that the organization anointed him. They have high hopes for him. They've talked about his skill set. But I think at every turn, they've played it down that it's going to take time. They haven't done anything to say, this guy is going to come in and fix everything. Ever. So let's keep it in, let's just keep it in reality here. Let's just be truthful and base our opinions on facts. Saying that the organization anointed him, that is not the case. They've played him down with the hopes that he earns his way to being a superstar. And they know he's a dynamic talent. They're not going to say he's not a dynamic talent when he is. They were thrilled to get him in that draft where they got him. They didn't even think he'd be here yet, let alone this would have been the third year post-draft. He'd be making his rookie debut next year had he not gotten out of that KHL contract, which I think the Flyers had a ton to do with facilitating. Again, Flyers purgatory. You've come in here. You've gone to take a slap shot to a wide-open net, and your stick broke and you missed the puck. Again, just an absolute gong show when you comment in the comments section. But keep them coming. I love you. It's never about agreeing with me, but like the guy, Ken, who emailed and said, this is like the Elias Pettersson situation with Tocchet and minutes all over again. And then I look up Elias Pettersson's minutes played and see the 3 years that Tocchet was there, he played his most. Let's deal in fact. That's what we're going to do here. I'm all by myself. I have to deal in facts. So that's what we do. All right, Flyers Canucks tonight. We'll break it down tomorrow. We'll preview Flyers Flames for New Year's Eve as 2026 is on the horizon. Everybody, have a great day. Enjoy the hockey tonight. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a brand new Flyers Daily.